Howdy doody.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
You can yes ma'am me all day long.
Okie dokie.
Dan and Parks at 54th Street Bar and Grill in Lee's Summit this afternoon. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Word is we have a special guest on the way.
I've heard that as well.
I have heard that as well.
Maybe a member of the family?
Maybe.
Who could it be if you're there?
Wait and see. Kara, do you have something that will make me laugh today?
Well, I have kind of an interesting little story out of Georgia. You know that tropical storm's coming ashore, right?
Yes.
And so it spawned up all of these tornadoes, and, you know, they're used to tornadoes and damage in Georgia.
Right.
One of the funny ones, though, it hit yesterday in Fairfield, actually in Alabama, and took down all of the walls of this liquor store.
Oh.
All of the shelves with all of the alcohol are still standing.
Oh, no way.
It's the craziest picture you've ever seen.
Well, and I guess if it all came out, they would float, right?
No, Dana, full bottles would not float.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
If I took a pitcher of water.
Yes.
And I dropped a full, unopened bottle of liquor into it, it would float.
Yes. Will a bottle of wine float?
Let's do a test.
I think it will float.
Hey, boss, can you get me a pitcher of water and a bottle of beer?
Okay, people have Googled this. Does a full glass bottle of wine float or sink? Well, I guess all the liquor on the Titanic went down.
It sure did.
So did the Titanic. So what we're going to do is we're going to get a full pitcher of water.
No, a pitcher's got a hole at the top of it.
So does the ocean.
No, you need a bottle, a closed, like, fifth of whiskey.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you. If you
what,
drop
that's
it
what
the...
I'm saying is we're going to get a pitcher of water.
Oh, okay.
And a bottle of beer. And
oh,
I'm going to
okay.
put a bottle of beer into a pitcher of water.
Okay.
Thank you, miss.
Why does this sound like a conversation of, does your phone move on a plane?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Does
that's,
it?
That's an argument for another time.
Now, I want you to hold this bottle
okay,
of Budweiser.
Okay, hold the Bud.
Okay.
Got it.
Is it heavy?
It, yeah, you know.
12 ounces of
call
booze.
It heavy, but I can't.
And some
yeah.
glass.
Okay.
All right. Is this going to float on top of this water?
I
or
think
is
it's
going to
float.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Does everybody think it's going to float?
You know why? Because there's air inside that bottle.
There is air inside the bottle.
Okay.
If it sinks.
Yes.
Will you admit for the first time ever that you were wrong?
We'll see.
I'm not going to put it in unless you admit it. Will you admit that you were wrong?
All right. Put it in there.
All right. So we don't... got a lot of electrical equipment over here.
Oh, yeah.
Dustin, will you come over here and help me real quick? Wake up. Just stand over there so we don't ruin the equipment that you set up. You ready?
Now, don't drop it hard.
I won't.
Just nicely put it in there. Well, that sunk because, let me just tell you, Kara, the pitcher of water yeah. is not big enough to hold it, so it's sticking out of the top.
Oh, so you need a bigger pitcher.
I do.
Well, now, wait a minute. Can I have that empty glass right there on that table?
I really, really thought it would float.
Now, the only reason that the bottle of Budweiser sunk was because there's not enough water.
Okay.
Okay.
There you
Here
go.
Is an empty bottle of O'Doul's.
Now that's going to float. That's going to float.
Well, why would it float if there's not enough water?
Air. Do it. Air. See? I win. It floats.
It's empty. The bottles in the liquor store were full.
Floats.
Okay.
I
you
win.
Just gave me a red card?
Kara.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of floating. Listen to this. So you know my parents were supposed to go to Florida, and then his seizure activity brought the plane down in an emergency fashion in
right.
St. Louis. So he's doing better. They purchased trip insurance before they
oh,
went.
So smart.
And my mom even said to me when they bought the trip, she said, gosh, it's a two and a half week trip. It's expensive. I'm going to go ahead and buy the insurance. And I told her, that's fine, but you kind of got to check what works and what doesn't with trip insurance. Because sometimes it's like you have to have a death. There has to be a hurricane. You know, it's not like you can just wake up and go, I decided not to go.
Right.
Because I tried that once, and the airline said, yeah, no. It's got to be something big for the insurance to kick in. Well, having a seizure four times on a plane and forcing an emergency landing is apparently big enough. Mm. She got her trip insurance and everything paid for. Well, it turns out, as luck would have it, it's rained every single day down there because of Hurricane Cindy. So I think my dad started flopping around like a fish on that airplane because he knew the weather was going to be so bad. Mm. I mean, I've got friends down there, and they're like, our entire vacation's a wreck. Like, we've been down here. It has rained every single day. And trip insurance, I think just because you think it's going to rain, they will not refund your trip.
My brother left last weekend for Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
The day after they arrived, Tropical Storm Cindy, and it has rained every single day. And here's the worst part. He didn't just go down there with his wife. He went there with his whole family and two other full families. And it has rained every single day in Cancun that they have been there.
And there's nothing you can do.
No.
He should have had a seizure on the plane. Aha!
Fact! No, his trip is ruined. It sucks. All right, we got a special guest coming here in just a minute. They have released the financial terms of the deal between the city of Ferguson, Missouri, and the family of Michael Brown. It is $1.5 million.
Okay, I want to ask you something. And it's going to sound like you, not me, when I say this. If there truly was no wrongdoing, as many people believe...
I don't. Oh, wait, like...
If there was truly no wrongdoing on the part of the officer...
Which I believe.
Who shot and killed him...
Yes.
Why is the city settling for $1.5 million
because
in a city that has nothing?
Let me ask you the reverse question. If indeed there was wrongdoing, that Officer Darren Wilson really did just kill Michael Brown,
right?
Why did the family accept $1.5 million?
Because that sounds like a lot of money to most people. I'm telling you it's not.
Let me tell you this.
$1.5 million... The taxes come out, it's half.
I don't think you tax on a settlement.
The attorneys take half.
Now, they take 40%.
And they still might think that's a lot of money. It's not.
Here's why.
If you lose somebody.
I guarantee you they had attorneys, and their attorneys were saying, do not take this to court. Take this money and let's walk. We are not going to win. Now, the city has attorneys and an insurance company that doesn't want to gamble putting this in front of a jury of 12 people who want to settle some sort of what they consider to be social injustice, and juries have a great ability to spend other people's money very freely. And so the city's like, 1.5? That's a bargain. We'll take it.
Okay.
But if there truly was wrongdoing on the part of Officer Darren Wilson, there is not a lawyer in this world that would have told that city to settle or that family to settle for $1.5 million. No way.
Are you surprised at the number?
No. I think it's incredibly low. This is a settlement, I guarantee you.
I don't think it's low.
The insurance company for the city agreed to pay $1.5 million, and there were stipulations involved that told the family to shut up and go away and leave them alone. And the family said, okay, for $1.5 million, we'll do it. Because they know if they put this in front of a judge, there's no way they're getting a penny. So they take it and run. All right, we're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit, 815 Southeast 3rd Street. Some great appetizers, great food, by the way, here. And the happy hour appetizers are just $5.99. Be an honor and a privilege if you would join us at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit.
TV is huge. TV advertising in Kansas City starts at $2. Something Difference award-winning TV commercials are dreamed up by our super-duper creative team who bring real-world broadcast expertise to each project. We love making your ad memorable and effective. We'll help make your business TV premiere really count. Call Something Different now at 1-866-774-9900 to chat. That's 1-866-774-9900. Visit Something Different at one of our Kansas City locations or online at somethingdifferent.com.
Wanna see you with the show, to treat you right. Give me just a minute, all your time tonight. We both are here to have the fun, so let it rip.
All right, we got Festivus Friday coming your way. Right after the 5 o'clock news. We broadcast live from the 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. Dana Wright, Scott Parks, Travis Walker back at the house.
Man.
Karen Marks, I got news coming up at the top of the hour.
People are mad about this Michael Brown settlement.
Oh, why? What's going on?
I'll read a few.
Okay.
They settled because had this have gone to a jury and the city was found not liable, there would have been another round of riots that would cost the city a lot more than $1.5
million.
Someone else wrote in, I hope the businesses that were destroyed will now go after the family for that money in civil suits because the stepdad incited those riots.
Interesting point.
You know, somebody else said they just didn't want to go through the trauma of a trial.
Well, and here's why.
In most cases, I believe that, especially in this case with the absolute circus that would accompany that proceeding.
And here's why, in part, Dana, I think, for the city to win, which is to say to not pay the family anything, they would have to, and I believe this. I'm sorry that Michael Brown died. I feel sorry for his family. But I honestly believe that was, I hate this term,
the just outcome.
It was a just shooting, or what people would say, what's the other
clean
term? Clean shooting. Thank you. It was a clean shooting. And I think Darren Wilson acted properly. Now, I'm sorry that that Michael Brown lost his life.
People have said the Black Lives Matter was a just cause. He was the wrong victim.
Right.
He was the wrong face of the movement.
And the thing is, for them to win, for the city to win, Dana, and you've covered enough trials before, they would have to cast Michael Brown as a thug, as someone who deserved to die.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the reputation Ferguson wanted after the reputation
right.
It's already got.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so already, when you hear the word Ferguson, people immediately think of the riots and Michael Brown. And then you're going to drag this through court. Chances are every news outlet in the country is not only going to cover it, but want to cover it live. And can you imagine the reputation Ferguson would get when their city attorney is on TV accusing Michael Brown of being what many of us think he really was, a thug, but don't want to say publicly, and suggesting that not only was Darren Wilson right, but that Michael Brown is dead because of the actions he brought on himself. It makes the city look bad.
Sure.
And the city already does.
It makes them look insensitive.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. Makes them look insensitive. Like they just don't care about Michael Brown. When what they're doing is what they need to do and protect themselves, financially and otherwise.
I wonder how many cities would make the same decision under a different set of circumstances so that if it did not bring international attention to your city, and there is some question, and I think it's fair to say there was some question of what happened in that car. I believe that.
You mean with whether he attacked the...
Yes. Would most cities have settled in this manner? And I think the answer is probably yes.
Because
you're rolling the dice. You're rolling the dice, putting that in front of a jury. Both sides are rolling the dice.
Sure.
The family's rolling the dice and could end up with nothing, and the city's rolling the dice and could end up with a $10 million
or more
suit or more.
The juries are really good at spending other people's money. They are. And I bet the city manager is waking up this morning thinking about this settlement and saying to himself, phew, we got off easy.
I will say this. I do not think the family of Philando Castile will have this outcome. I think in that shooting, they will sue the city and they will win.
Oh, they will.
He was not a robbery suspect. He wasn't. He was a licensed concealed weapons holder. And that police officer freaked out.
Well, and you know,
I unloaded that gun.
And it's interesting you bring that up, the Philando Castile case, because I was watching one of the cable news networks yesterday, and they had two former police detectives on.
Yeah.
One was arguing that the officer in the case acted, for the most part, properly. And the other one, he was arguing that the police officer did not act properly, and he had some really good points. I did not realize this, but in police speak, where your car door meets the car,
okay,
where it, you know, that part where it just hangs,
yeah,
it hinges, that's called pillar A. The part of your door that swings out, that's pillar B.
Okay.
And if there's a back seat, that's pillar C.
Okay.
So the officer is supposed to always remain at pillar B.
Okay.
Well, they showed the video, and clearly at several points during this conversation, this officer has moved to what they call in cop speak, Pillar A. Also, this officer, this detective, former detective, pointed out the second Philando Castile said, I need to let you know.
Yeah.
I have a handgun in the car. The officer should have pulled back and ordered Philando Castile out of the car from a safe distance.
Sure.
Maybe being by the side of his own
instead
car.
Instead of standing right there hovering over
and
it.
And saying, don't reach for it.
Sure. But that goes back to training, doesn't it, Scott?
Well, yeah. And there, that's where I think the family of Philando Castile is going to have a case. He was not properly trained. And if he was properly trained, he clearly did not execute that training during that traffic stop. And Philando Castile is dead. Keep this in mind, too. He fired 7 shots into that car and only hit 4 times. At point
with
blank
a
range.
Child in the back seat. And I will tell you this, there's video of that child in the squad car with the mother, and it is the most heartbreaking thing. I could not bring myself to listen to it. I saw it because it popped up on my feed, and the little girl who's 4, who was in the back seat when he was shot, the mother in the paddy wagon, or whatever you call that, they were in the back of a van, I think. The mother is screaming and cursing and crying because she assumes correctly that he's dying or dead. The little girl grabs her mother's face. She's 4 years old and says, Mommy, please stop yelling and cursing. I don't want them to shoot at you too. Put that in front of a jury. That child was in the back seat when he unloaded that gun.
And keep in mind, at point blank range, he missed 3 times.
And then the other thing that I think will not play well in front of a jury is the
he's
screaming.
He's out of control.
And not that I would, they do a job that I could not or would not do. And I have the utmost respect for our law enforcement officers. But you have seen other trained officers have to make that decision that no officer wants to make. And they are not screaming and panicked in this high-pitched, anxiety-filled, anxiety-riddled moment. I mean, he is frantic. And it's I don't want to say unbecoming of a law enforcement officer, but it's unusual. Usually when they make that decision, you know that I have drawn my weapon, I am confident in my training, and I'm shooting. There's no... Ah!
Well, now wait a minute, though, because I said the same thing to the antithesis of what you just pointed out. When this story first broke, I made a comment, and I know we got to get to the news, that I was shocked how calm and collected Philando Castile's girlfriend was in that car.
Tell me that did not just happen. She kept saying, tell me that did not
tell me
just
you
happen.
Did not just, I mean, I would be screaming bloody murder if somebody shot somebody that I loved.
But she's
in a car.
Not trained in those scenarios.
But people would write in, Dana, or call in and say, you cannot, Scott, you're being insensitive. You can't imagine what it's like to be in that situation. You're right. I've never seen anybody get shot. Thank God. Knock on wood.
I think most officers would say their training kicks in and they're not hysterical.
Well, but that first time you shoot somebody or shoot at somebody, your adrenaline, I mean, I'm not going to blame him for having a reaction. I just think he sounded like a girl.
I was going to say he reacted like I would if a swarm of bees were flying around my face and getting into my eyeballs.
Right.
He was out of control.
He was, and it was unprofessional. All right, we're at the 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit, 815 Southeast 3rd Street. Be an honor and a privilege if you would come on by.
Is your business advertising stale? We're now in a different time. If your company relies on old school marketing, you run the risk of becoming stale and out of touch. Something different can show you how to be at the forefront of your industry. Something different can help drive traffic to your door. Call Something Different now at 866-744-9900 for a free evaluation. That's 866-774-9900. Visit Something Different in Kansas City, Leawood, Lee Summit on the Northland, or online at somethingdifferent.com.
Friday coming up back again. Right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks. Shut up, I'm wearing Cuban Yeah.
And then we'll wrap this up. Someone asked me, did you read the details of the settlement? The settlement agreement has been sealed. So listen to this. The settlement agreement shall remain sealed by this court and shall be considered a closed record under Missouri revised statute due to the adverse impact to the plaintiff should it be disclosed. Disclosure of the terms could jeopardize the safety of individuals involved in the matter, whether as witnesses, parties, investigators. The public policy to consider records open is outweighed by the adverse impact to the plaintiffs. I am going to tell you I have a problem with that, and here's why. I think anytime your government pays $1.5 million to a family because the government, in effect, killed one of its citizens, rightly or wrongly, that's what happened.
Okay.
Those details should be released. I have a huge problem with sealing settlements like that. That's your tax money.
I'm okay with that.
And no,
I'm okay with what you're saying.
And no one can tell you why they reached that conclusion or how they reached that conclusion. You know, if the city wants to go out and spend $1.5 million on putting new curbs out here on the highway, they have to hold a hearing and take public comment and talk about it.
Bids.
And this is what we're going to do with the money. We're going to take bids. How come when it's a settlement, because they killed one of its citizens, we don't get to hear about that?
That's a great question. I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer.
Huh.
A story here from thehill.com. A plurality, which is to say not a majority, but certainly a lot, a plurality of registered voters say the media is to blame for instigating political violence in America. According to data from the latest Harvard-Harris poll, provided exclusively to The Hill, 35%, so a third, of Americans say the media is to blame. 26% blame Democrats, 24% blame the president, and 15% blame Republicans. Quoting here from Harvard-Harris poll, co-founder Mark Penn, the media has been steadily losing credibility over time, and this finding should give pause to cable channels and news outlets that sponsor plays featuring mock assassinations of the president. That wasn't on a cable news channel, though.
No. That was online.
In the survey, respondents were asked who they, quote, blame the most for instigating political violence, not unlike what we saw last week at the congressional baseball practice. 35% said the media.
That's just the easy person to kick.
It really is.
Media.
Although I will say this, I'll get it on the text line. I may even hear some boos here. I honestly believe CNN is the fairest. Are they a little bit biased?
It ain't Fox.
It ain't MSNBC either. I mean, at least on CNN, I get what I consider to be sort of the truth that's not filtered. There was an interview this morning, and I don't want to get too into politics, but I don't think in this day and age we can avoid it necessarily anymore. Trump called into Fox and Friends this morning. I don't know if you guys got to see that or hear it. There were more softballs there than in an NCAA tournament game.
Are you a great president or the greatest president ever?
It was so bad. The questions that whatever the chick is on the morning now, on Fox and Friends, I don't even know her name anymore. There were so many softballs thrown at the president regarding this revelation that he released yesterday that, no, I never did tape James Comey, which, by the way, some people would argue is actually intimidation of a witness. And somebody on CNN today, John King, who's pretty good, called Fox News, because of what happened this morning on Fox and Friends, state-run media. Well, that's a fair criticism to some extent. But I would remind John King and others who look at Fox News right now as state-run media, go back over the previous 9 years and tell me what MSNBC was. They were state-run media then, if that's going to be the criticism of Fox. MSNBC never, ever, with, you know, Chris Matthews or some of their other hosts, said anything negative against Barack Obama. Remember with Chris Matthews, when he listened to Barack Obama speak, he got a chill down his leg.
I remember that.
You remember that? He sends chills down my leg. Calm down there, weirdo. We're all getting out of here alive. Just keep your hands off the president. Freak. But let me say one thing very quickly. I think it is a misnomer anymore, and I say this as somebody who has a degree in broadcast journalism, as I know Dana does from Washburn, from KU. And two people who sit at this table in front of you today who take very seriously this notion of trying to provide you with what we consider to be the closest thing to the truth.
Sure.
And I say this now because when we were in college in the 90s, we didn't have the news media outlets that we have today. The only cable news outlet at the time was CNN and Headline News, but nobody watched it. Now things haven't changed.
Right.
What they are providing on the cable news outlets anymore, especially Fox and especially MSNBC, I tell you today, it is not news. And I'm not saying it's fake news. What I'm telling you is that, especially with those two, CNN I actually consider to be semi-reputable still to this day. But if you tune into Fox News and or MSNBC, you're tuning in for one of two reasons. You're tuning in because you want to get angry with what they're saying. And I must confess, I do that. I tune into MSNBC a lot to get angry.
You do.
Because I want to say, oh, shut up. Oh, shut your face. And that's what I do at night sometimes. And sometimes in the morning, I'll watch the news. I'm like, oh, my God, you're an idiot. Or you're listening and watching to hear your own opinions thrown back at you so that you feel validated.
I take absolutely zero stock in this study. None. Because the Republicans are going to say Fox News is fine and the rest of it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are going to say MSNBC and CNN are fine.
Perfect.
And your Trump supporters hate the media anyway. Fake news.
Well, no, you still love Fox.
I don't understand what the point of this survey is. If you are old and crazy, and we have this story in our stack, and you are hell-bent on doing someone harm because you're angry politically, that's not the media's fault. If you're a crazy old guy that wants to go shoot up a bunch of congressmen, I'm sorry, that's not the media's fault.
No, but I think what happens is, and I was talking to a pastor who was here earlier today. And then
give me the Cleaver story, okay. Speaking of crazy.
You'll have to find it in there, but here's the problem, I think, in large part, is, and we're all old enough to remember, and I always hate this idea that, oh, it's never been this bad. Well, of course it's been this bad. We had a civil war, for God's sakes. It's been worse.
It's never been this bad in our lifetime, is what you like to say.
In my adult lifetime, I don't ever remember it being this vitriolic, this angry, this frustrated, this I'm not going, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear your point of view because I know my point of view is right, and they tell me that every day on Fox or MSNBC.
Here it is.
I do think that the media does take some of the blame for what's going on in America, and here's why. It is so one-sided. You tune into MSNBC like Chris Matthews, who I think is just a deplorable human being. Or you tune into Hannity on Fox, who I equally think is a deplorable human being. And all they do is tell you exactly what's wrong with the person they hate and what's right with the person they like. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Rod Babcock is here.
Hi, honey. Really quick from the Star, and then we'll come back and chat about this. And Rod, you can weigh in. The latest death threat to Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver came into a call in his office. The man was furious that Cleaver didn't answer his phone. Okay, weirdo, they never answer their own phones. He squawked that the mayor, formerly of Kansas City, was a blanking punk and said, if you don't start listening to blanking Trump and representing your blanking constituents, I'm going to blow your office up.
What does blanking mean?
Now, you are going to tell me...
Not a real bullet.
...that it's the media's fault that this crazy person has threatened Emanuel Cleaver.
No, I'm not going to say that. What I'm saying is the media has only added to his already built-in frustration and hate.
Got it.
All right, we're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. Be an honor and a privilege if you guys would come on by. And we even brought Rod Babcock out this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Indeed. That's how much we love you. Let's do traffic and weather together. We will start with JM.
All right, Scott, thanks very much.
Is your business advertising stale? We're now in a different time. If your company relies on old school marketing, you run the risk of becoming stale and out of touch. Something different can show you how to be at the forefront of your industry. Something different can help drive traffic to your door. Call Something Different now at 866-744-9900 for a free evaluation. That's 866-774-9900. Visit Something Different in Kansas City, Leawood, Lee's Summit on the Northland, or online at somethingdifferent.com.
Festivus Friday as we broadcast live from 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit, 815 Southeast 3rd Street. Be an honor and a privilege if you would spend your afternoon with us. Oh, next hour on the program, I printed this one off for you, Dana. A North Carolina judge.
Yes.
Check that. A Supreme Court decision.
Oh, bigger.
That a woman... cannot say no to sex.
Oh no, I've seen
after she has already said yes.
Oh, I've seen it.
Mm.
So you can't change your mind?
Correct. That's what they're saying. They're saying yes in the beginning covers the entirety of the act.
Okay.
For example, if a woman says yes, the act begins, and then she says no.
You cannot backpedal.
Okay.
There's no illegality there.
That's not rape.
So she can't say yes and then see what she's working with and go, okay, no.
Correct.
I've changed my mind. No.
You read the law well, Rod.
Interesting.
We'll get into that later. It seems odd. We'll get into it later because we were always told growing up, no means no. No means no. No means no.
I'm serious. You said a woman cannot. Can a guy? Like, can a guy be like, yeah, let's totally do this, and then basically unwrap the Christmas present and go, that's not what I wanted.
Sheena was a man.
Yeah, what if it's Lola? I mean, you know. What if you're like, hell yeah, Lola with the deep, sexy voice. Let's do this thing. And you're like, no, law says you can't change your mind, dude.
Stop it.
Do me.
You're in it to win. Here's it, the buddy.
I don't want to talk about that on a Friday because it'll just tick me off. We're an hour away from Festivus Friday. I don't want to talk about that story on a Friday. I saw it in the stack and I go, nope, not talking about that today.
I printed it off just for you.
Yep. No, I'm dying. I need to know if it includes men.
Like, I'm going to hand it right on back.
What state is this?
North Carolina.
Interesting.
We'll get to that in just a moment. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. Also, we will get back into the message that Emmanuel Cleaver's office received. It was a voicemail, right?
Actual death threat.
And the dum-dum left his name, which I don't know if I should call him a dum-dum. You're either really brave or really stupid to threaten the life of a congressman.
A sitting congressman.
And then leave your name. All right, let's get to the newsroom. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit.